Wildfires are breaking out across wide swaths of the state, and combating them involves a mix of local, state, and federal resources. But as KSKA's Zachariah Hughes reports, amid the organizational complexities, most of the immediate needs on the ground are quite basic.
A level below ground in the National Guard Armory, the state's Emergency Operations Center is a hive of computer monitors and telephone calls.
Our job is not to fight fires.
Michael O'Hare directs the state's Emergency Management Division.
So our job is to make sure the firefighters are putting the fires out. The next phase is the what we call the start of our disaster assistance, the recovery process.
Frontline firefighting is overseen by the Forestry Service. They're the ones calling in crews of hotshots or phoning in to the National Guard for helicopters. But here, the Operations Center feels like a big tent, with representatives fielding phone calls and connecting folks in the Mat-Su or Kenai boroughs with the things they need right now.
Cots and blankets and pillows and sanitation kits, health kits, toothbrushes and toothpaste.
The division also helps assess damage. That phase started today in the valley, as borough officials went out with state troopers to do quick checks on which properties are damaged. That information will eventually be used by the state in providing funds to homeowners for repairs and bringing in federal FEMA money if the destruction is beyond the borough or state's ability to pay. At the center of all of this is Brian Fisher, who wears a red vest so that officials from a wide array of outside agencies know he's part of the emergency management team. Fisher says his job is simple: support the local jurisdictions.
Natural disasters are always very expensive, particularly in Alaska.
In a complicated crisis situation, just having the room and the know-how to coordinate is key. Emergency managers handling the wildfires are on call for 12-hour shifts 7 days a week. Fisher says just having the capacity to navigate all the available resources frees up frontline crews dealing with everything from fire suppression to evacuations.
The state of Alaska does not forcibly evacuate anybody from anywhere. If the homeowner or the resident chooses not to leave, they take their information down on where they are, who they are, and next of kin to be able to notify if something, God forbid, which should happen.
That just sounds like a crazy conversation to have potentially with a stranger of, we need your next of kin, and then you're on your own and Godspeed.
It's very, very difficult and challenging. The firefighter's primary mission is to save lives and protect property, and having to be a stranger to come in to say, we need you to leave now, and if you don't, you're on your own, because we have to go save, protect ourselves and protect all the rest of the property and homeowners in the area where the fire is very, very difficult conversations to have.
Officials and relief workers say the donations that help them most at this point are cash that can be spent at shelters in the valley and on the Kenai. In Anchorage, I'm Zachariah Hughes.
Donations for those affected by the wildfires are piling up, but not all charity is equal when it comes to having the best impact. Relief agencies helping the state manage shelter and aid refer to something called the disaster within the disaster. What they mean is that well-meaning Alaskans rush out to donate goods that end up being more of a burden than a help.
Probably the thing that's too much of right now is clothing.
Tom Gemmel works with the Red Cross, which is helping take care of the more than 90 evacuees staying at a shelter in Houston. Gemmel says they and other groups like the Salvation Army connect individuals with particular needs, like eyeglasses, medications, and short-term housing. But they do it through gift certificates and deals with hotels, which depend on cash. If you want to help but don't feel comfortable opening your wallet, put away the canned green beans and old bedding. Gemmel has other advice.
The best thing people can do is, one, prepare their own families for a disaster, because you're pretty useless as a disaster volunteer if you're worried about your own family.
Once the state begins its damage assessment phase, officials will have a clearer picture of specific needs.